You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. It's Diddy Ween, Sean Combs' Halloween Fright Night, as we learn new grand jury charges pending. That's right. The grand jury is meeting again. This as Sean Combs' bail bid goes bust. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Sean Diddy Combs has now been sued with claims of molestation and sexual assaults, with more on the horizon.
You know, Dr. King called it the law of unintended consequences. So sometimes the more you push a person down, the stronger they get.
The world of Diddy Freakoffs has physical requirements for all women taking part, and the list is now public. For women, you cannot be over 140 pounds. How do they know? A source tells the New York Post they kept a scale nearby to weigh women in question. Other no-nos on the list: no flab, no cellulite, nobody who's overly pierced or too tatted up, no short hair, no pants, no jeans. You have to be young and hot and showing cleavage. You must wear provocative, revealing clothing with stilettos, nothing else. Every girl has to wear a party dress, a short party dress, short enough to just cover the butt cheeks.
What did I just hear? A list, a requirement list for what you have to wear, or better put, not wear, to Sean Combs' party. Now hold on. Wait a minute. You cannot be over 140 pounds. Forget the grand jury that's meeting about new charges. I've got to deal with this list. No short hair, no flab, no cellulite, must wear stilettos, must be young and hot, must wear low-cut shirt with or dress with cleavage showing. Their words, not mine. Dress to be very short, just enough to cover butt cheeks. Okay, you know, before I demean myself any further by reading Sean Combs' list out loud, I did not go to Mercer Law School and NYU Law School to get an LLM in constitutional criminal law to read dress to be very short, just enough to cover butt cheeks. I'm going to leave that to special guest from DailyMail.com, Kella Brantley, who is a star of Daily Mail's podcast, The Trial of Diddy. I will let you deal with the exposed butt cheeks. Okay, before I get to the legal problem that Sean Combs is facing right now, his new legal problem, as he whines about conditions at MDC and tries to get bail again, can I talk about this list that has just emerged? No jeans, no pants. Why no pants? I wonder why. Young and hot, stilettos, cleavage, no flab, no cellulite. What? Does he think he's all that? Explain to me the list, Kella Brantley.
Clearly, Nancy, from that list, you can tell that he does think he's all that, if these are his qualifications just to attend the party. The thing that I found the most interesting was that a scale was used to make sure that these women were under 140 pounds. Now, they did say that they would make exceptions, you know, if the woman was particularly tall. But if you look at this list, it's just all very demeaning things to say. If you don't adhere to this, you can't come to my party. Now, a thing that is interesting also is that these were the regulations for women, but clearly there you don't see any regulations for men. And what we've been finding from all these lawsuits is that a lot of these men, it was kind of whoever he could allegedly find, whether they be underage, whether they be 10 years old. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of these lawsuits coming out this week.
Hold on the new charges that the federal grand jury is mulling. They have been mulling all day long, and I predict they will be mulling the new charges again tomorrow. Believe me, the feds are not putting up anything easy breezy to a new federal grand jury on Diddy. Dr. Bethany Marshall, I hate to get you jacked up at the very beginning. Dr. Bethany Marshall joining me, author of Deal Breaker. You can see her on Peacock. She's a renowned psychoanalyst joining us out of Beverly Hills. At drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, I'm almost joking about this so-called entry list. No flab, no cellulite, nobody over 140 pounds, Scales were used. Scales were used. If there was a question, the lady, the young girl, had to get on a set of scales. And if she was over 140 pounds, she could not come into the party. Your breasts have to be showing, no pants, no jeans. My point is, I would introduce this to a jury, Bethany, because this is indicative of how he views women and how they are used and treated.
Nancy, this reveals so many things about P. Diddy's character. First of all, these women are just objects. I think he's wanting them to dress that way, not only so he can rape them, but so he can attract other men to rape them. Because remember, he's a voyeur as well. He likes to see people having sex. Now, think about the mindset of a sex addict, which clearly he's sexually compulsive. What they want is arousing images around them all the time. I see this with my patients who have sex addiction. Sometimes they'll watch pornography for hours to stay in an aroused state. So he's also surrounding himself with these women to stay in a state of arousal and to keep that state of arousal as long as possible. And these sex addicts, what they have to do is they have to go to more increasingly provocative choices in order to stay in the state of arousal. Maybe it starts with a woman who clothes on, then it goes to a man, whatever, but he's upping the ante for his own interest's sake.
Joining me is high-profile lawyer, criminal defense attorney, and former prosecutor, the host of Courtroom Confidential on YouTube, Joshua Ritter. Josh, thank you for being with us. How do you think a jury is going to react? And I know we're all chomping at the bit to talk about the new grand jury, another grand jury. Got a pretty good idea about the evidence that they are hearing right now. And I think the grand jury is going to go a couple of days. Josh Ritter, how much would you try to sink down in your seat as a defense attorney when the state whips out this list, this requirement list, before any of the alleged victims can come into a freak-off, Diddy's parties? How would that make you feel? What would you do? Pull OJ and act like you're taking legal notes or act like you're in a deep conversation? What would you do? I mean, I noticed when I was in Delphi that every time bad evidence for the defendant would come in, the biggest, physically biggest defense lawyer would put his arm around the defendant like they're watching a movie and sharing popcorn to protect him from the evidence that was about to happen. So what do you do when the freak-off requirement list comes in? I couldn't wait to put this to the ladies on the jury. Now, you can't be over 140 pounds, ladies, okay, and no cellulite. Really? What do you do with something like that, Ritter?
There's not much you can do. Maybe hide your face. I don't know. But this is incredibly powerful evidence for the prosecution. But I think most disturbing, now that we're finding out more about Diddy, is the requirement that they be young. And we're finding out now that that requirement extended beyond just the age of minority to very, very young people who were involved in these sexual assaults, victims at his hands. So it's powerful evidence. And it also, as you questioned, how are the jurors going to respond to it? It's going to show them this lifestyle that he lived is a completely different world than what they understand. This person was living in this world of absolute debauchery and self-indulgence, and that's going to completely alienate him from them if they ever had a chance of sympathizing Diddy to this jury. So I, as far as what his defense is going to do, I imagine keep their head down, hopefully weather the storm, and hope that it gets better and not worse after this.
Did you just say put your head down and weather the storm? Man, you got to come up with something better than that, okay? And I know it's on the fly here, but, you know, you brought up a really good point about relating to Diddy's lifestyle. The state is going to be looking for people, like everybody on this panel, people that hold down regular jobs, people. Why? Because you have a routine. You have to get up in the morning. You have to go to work. If you screw it up, you're fired. It's hard for working people like all of us to relate to a lifestyle where people have freak-off parties for days and days and days with alleged GHB-infused baby oil being rubbed on and inserted in victims. It's just hard to relate to debauchery and luxury lifestyles that we're hearing about. So that's going to be a shock to any right-minded jury when they hear all this. And it's going to put Sean Combs in an entirely different light as he's put with the people he normally runs with. You mentioned something really important, Josh Ritter, really important, that what disturbs you the most out of this freak-off must-do list? Young. Why? And we got to ask ourselves this. Why is it so hard for anyone to accept the notion that Sean Combs molested young children? Listen.
When a 10-year-old Los Angeles boy shows a talent and desire to work as an actor and rapper, his parents hire an industry consultant to help grow his career. The boy has already gotten some acting roles and appears in a music video. When the consultant arranges a once-in-a-lifetime career-making meeting and audition with Diddy in New York. Arriving in New York from L.A., the consultant takes the boy to Diddy's hotel room, where she leaves him alone with the world-famous mogul. After rapping a few songs for Diddy in this private audition, Diddy tells the child he can make him a star.
An alleged 10-year-old boy victim? What else do we know? Listen.
After the alleged attack, the consultant picks up the boy and takes him to his parents, where they can tell something is wrong as the child is lethargic and acting differently. Ultimately, the boy does tell his parents what happened, but terrified of the consequences, they remain silent until now. The now adult victim says he was so traumatized by Diddy, he had to be homeschooled, suffers from anxiety and depression and night terrors to this day. He is suing Diddy and all of the companies for gender-motivated violence and seeking damages for the assault.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Kella Brantley, investigative reporter of DailyMail.com and star of the Trial of Diddy podcast at Daily Mail. Kella, it's been very difficult for a lot of people to accept the notion that Combs has molested, allegedly, young boys and girls. But the charges are mounting. Can they all be lying, Kella? What can you tell me about this boy who, at the time of the alleged attack, was a 10-year-old trying to break into the business?
Nancy, it feels like there's new lawsuits coming out every week, because there are. And this one, he was a 10-year-old boy, and he says that Diddy actually gave him a soda, what seemed like a harmless soda, and after that, he believed that it was drugged because he became very lethargic. He said that Diddy forced him to perform oral sex on him, and then he lost consciousness, and when he woke up, he felt pain in his anus. So you can only imagine what a 10-year-old boy, a scared 10-year-old boy, was going through. And then on top of that, he claimed that Diddy told him that if he told his parents, he would then hurt his parents. So a 10-year-old boy, just imagine that. And this is not the youngest victim, alleged victim. We've had claims from a 9-year-old boy come out before.
You know, Joshua Ritter, renowned criminal defense attorney and now star of Courtroom Confidential on YouTube. Josh, the child was 10 years old at the time. Years have passed. That now teen is going to be subjected to intense cross-examination, and the state must prepare for that if, in fact, this child is ever brought on as a witness. Could this type of evidence or this exact case be the subject of the grand jury probe that's happening right now and is expected to go on for several days? Charges about minors, children. So knowing that this then child is going to be subjected to intense cross-examination, Josh Ritter, how can the state prepare for that? I submit to you, the state would prepare for that by leading up to the witness with evidence of having to withdraw from school, having to be homeschooled, going to a therapist, claims that were made following that, claims that he felt pain in his anus, claims that he became nervous, started biting his nails, did poorly, had sleep terrors, all of the classic symptoms of child molestation. You build up and then you put the alleged victim on the stand. All of that can come in, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And it will come in. This poor child, maybe now a teenager's life, has been completely turned upside down. It's an event that changed the course of his life. He is struggling to live with the repercussions of it every single day. And his bravery for coming forward all these years later should absolutely be applauded. It is difficult to prepare children, young adults, for the rigors of cross-examination. You're absolutely right. But I think he's already demonstrated incredible bravery by even coming forward with his story. And he's just going to have to continue to build upon that faith that the prosecutors are going to protect him and hopefully bring a conclusion in the form of a conviction so that there's some semblance of justice that this child can have after all the trauma that he has experienced.
Judge Arun Subramaniam rejects a gag order proposal from the defense team for Sean Diddy Combs. Diddy claims government officials are leaking information about him to the media in an effort to make him look dangerous to prevent him from getting out on bond before trial. After rejecting the proposal from Diddy, the judge adopts a gag order similar to that requested by Combs. The judge's order insists federal agents, investigators, and Diddy's team must follow the laws forbidding them from leaking grand jury proceedings that can create problems for a fair trial.
Straight back out to Keala Brantley, investigative reporter with DailyMail.com and host of a hit podcast, Daily Mail's The Trial of Diddy. Keala, let me understand this. And this has been second verse, same as the first. All right. The defense of Sean Combs keeps saying that Combs is being subjected to leaks. First, they claim that the Cassie Ventura video of him beating her and running around that hotel in nothing but a towel was leaked, okay? I guess they were mad that the bribes they paid to keep it suppressed didn't work, and it got out. Now they're claiming the same thing, that somehow the feds, who are presenting to the grand jury, they've been presenting all day today, and we think they're going into the next few days. About what? I'd like to know, possibly about the minors, the children that are coming forward claiming sex attacks by Combs. But I've got more theories on that. But isn't it true, Keala, that they are not leaks at all? They are civil complaints being filed against Sean Combs. He's saying it's part of a big conspiracy to make him look bad. Okay, nobody's leaking that. These people are filing these lawsuits and we're finding out about them. That's what's happening. Nobody's leaking anything, Keala.
Exactly, Nancy. And at the end of the day, Diddy's defense can get mad and upset at journalists, but they're only doing their job. We are only doing our job. So when we dig into stories and we find these incriminating videos and we find these texts and calls and these alleged victims who come forward with their own testimony, we're just doing our jobs. Those are not leaks. And CNN did an incredible report that found that video of Cassie. So at the end of the day, Diddy's team can be upset that it's come forward, but what they should really be upset about is the contents of those videos, of the allegations, because a video doesn't lie and it's all there. And because it's damning, they're getting upset.
Brian Fitzgibbons with us, Director Operations, USPA Nationwide Security. Brian, this is going to be a problem for the state and the defense. Corralling, marshalling evidence, and corralling the alleged victims. Because if you get one victim with credibility problems, well, I put up so many witnesses with credibility problems, you know, all these witnesses and victims are not going to be nuns and priests and virgins, as I like to say. A lot of them are going to have credibility problems, and they're going to be torn to shreds on cross. But what the state has to do, disregard the civil complaints, Brian. What the state has to do is make sure that everything they bring forward is pristine, is real, is something the prosecutor can stand up and believe in. Not any victim that they think, wow, is this real or is this a money grab? Because that one bad apple will ruin the state's whole case. Right? I mean, dare I say his name, but look at Simpson. One questionable detective wreaked havoc with the state's case. Once you put up one witness that the jury doesn't believe or the jury dislikes, you're screwed. technical legal term.
There's going to be a massive problem for Diddy's defense team, and that is all of the witnesses that you would think would be on his side of the table. These are bodyguards, these are waitresses, workers at these parties, going to corroborate a lot of the victim stories, of the alleged victim stories. And that's going to be very powerful to any jury. And you know that the investigators are those witnesses right now.
Corralling victims, corralling statements. The state is being helped in the sense that civil suits are now being filed. But who's telling the truth? Now, you see why in the Michael Jackson case, for instance, so many alleged victims chose not to come forward because the victims that did come forward were torn to shreds. And then Jackson walked. So is it hard to believe that Jackson was one of the world's greatest musical prodigies, but also molested children? Some people can't reconcile that. I don't have a problem with that. Same thing with Combs. One of the world's greatest producers and musical artists also is a rapist. A lot of people have a problem with that. I do not. I can't ignore the facts slapping me in the face. Here is another problem for Sean Puffy Combs. And let me tell you, it is Diddy Wayne tonight. Listen.
In another set of pictures released from an alleged victim of a Diddy party, Combs is seen dancing in a white jersey surrounded by a number of young women in his hotel suite in Las Vegas. The victim claims she was given an open bottle of Ciroc vodka, and after 40 minutes, she feels dizzy, nauseated, and loses control of her motor functions. The lawsuit claims a friend helps her find a place to lay down. When she awakens the next morning, she's groggy and sore, and Combs is in the room shirtless, yelling on the phone. Realizing her soreness is more aggravated in her genital area, she discovers she's been raped by Combs.
The pertinent part of that news report is photos. Photographic evidence. Right now, all over the world, online sleuths are poring over every photo, every video ever put out there, and there are thousands of them looking for clues. For instance, is a particular alleged victim at the party in a photo that she claims to have been the night that she was assaulted? You cannot underestimate the power of online sleuths. I mean, you know, Lynn Shaw joining me, founder and director of Lynn's Warriors, dedicated to ending sex trafficking. Lynn, how many times has a citizen who calls 911, I mean, we saw it, and here's a great example in Gabby Petito's case. Online sleuths, I believe the name was Red, Blue, and Methane. Wasn't that the name, Jackie? Who had seen Gabby's Ford Transit, pictures of it when we couldn't find Gabby Petito. And lo and behold, out in the middle of nowhere, really dispersed camping, they see a white Ford Transit. And they're like, could that be Gabby Petito's van? Yes, it was. LA law enforcement called out immediately, and that is the only way her remains, that's all that was left, were found, because of a citizen sleuth. And right now, Lynn, online sleuths all around the world literally are combing through photos, videos, posts, Instas, you name it, looking for clues.
Dirty Diddy is going down. First of all, we love at the Warriors online sleuths, because between all of the iPhones, phones, cameras, Ring doorbells, we are able to track when we work with missing children or runaway children, youth, anybody. We have solved so many cases with law enforcement because of all of this. This case with Dirty Diddy, I'll tell you, there is so much evidence. Who has the tapes? Who has the photos? That is going to be the big difference. We hope the feds do. We hope that's what they're working on right now, because we have always heard about him. He told us, Bad Boy Entertainment. He told us from the beginning who he is, that you know what, that this was a sex trafficking ring, particularly of young boys, minors. And just to go back to the freak off party list requirements, I didn't see a box there, Nancy, that says, tell us your age or prove you're an adult. So you are going to find out there are a lot of kids involved in this. And I say, bring it on. Dirty Diddy has zero defense.
Prosecutors claim the Diddy Freak-Offs participants were coerced or blackmailed into performing, and some women were transported across state lines to take part. The organizer of the Freak-Offs says Diddy never asked about the ages of the participants.
The integral part of that is across state lines. We're learning that a federal grand jury has been meeting all day long, and we expect the grand jury to continue meeting on the Sean Combs case. But why? They don't call it secret for nothing. We don't know why, but we've gotten some clues across state lines. That brings in a whole constitutional issue, which I'm not going to bore you with, about interstate travel. Let me give an example. Jared Fogle, remember that? POC, another technical legal term. He was a Subway sandwich front man for so many years. Famous, rolling in money, until it was discovered he was transporting minors across state lines in order to have sex with them, translation, statutory rape. All of his house of cards came crumbling down. There's a whole nother layer of federal prosecution when a victim has been transported across state lines. Is that the subject of the grand jury that has been meeting all day long today, planning to go into tomorrow? Or could it be this? Celebrity witnesses. Listen.
The first big-name celebrity to be officially accused of misconduct at a Diddy party is Kanye West. West's former assistant, Lauren Pesciotta, claims that at a joint party with Diddy, her boss forced her to have at least one drink. Lauren says she woke up the next morning with no memory of the night before, thinking someone had laced her drink. Years later, Ye brought up the time they hooked up. It was then Lauren realized West had sexually assaulted her.
The name Kanye continues to be circulated. Could Kanye West be called as a witness? What about J-Lo, who apparently is just emerged from online sleuthing of photos and videos of she and Combs having a verbal argument one of the nights that he was charged with sex attack on a minor? I believe that night it was a 13-year-old girl. What about Ashton Kutcher? What about Bieber, who was just a minor when he was thrown in the pot with Diddy to stew? Straight back out to Joshua Ritter, high-profile criminal defense attorney, star of Courtroom Confidential on YouTube. The possibility that celebrity witnesses are being called to the grand jury. Maybe that is why these proceedings have been cloaked in such secrecy. What about it?
Absolutely. I mean, it could be that. It could be other victims coming forward. It could be any one of the options you mentioned, or all of them. The point is, the floodgates are open now. No one is afraid of this man any longer. People are coming forward. People are coming out of the woodwork, as they say, to say how they've been victimized by this man. And there's no longer this protection of his wealth and his power and his ability to harm them and their families is playing a role in their minds and keeping them fearful of coming forward. So, you know, we've heard about dozens of victims filing lawsuits. There are dozens upon dozens more in the wings waiting to come forward. So I think that the feds have their hands full with any one of those options that you've mentioned of our hypotheticals of who could be testifying during this grand jury, about people either coming forward willfully or being compelled by subpoena to come forward and testify about what this man has been, the havoc he has been wrecking over the decade.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, we keep hearing the attorney, Tony Busby, say, I'm going to name names and they're going to be famous celebrities and you're not going to believe it. We'll name them for Pete's sake. Quit saying, I'm going to do it. Double dog dare me. Here it comes. Well, it hasn't come. So is that what's happening? The last thing any of these celebs want is to be associated with a grand jury investigation.
You know, Nancy, I think a lot of celebrities are going to be dragged into this. They're probably shaking in their boots right now. You know, think about it. P. Diddy, he drug everybody into his sex crimes. So there are going to be a lot of co-conspirators. and people who participated either knowingly or unknowingly, but we are going to be shocked. And in terms of the online sleuths, here's another clue about what they should be looking for. Pedophiles love to pass photos around to other pedophiles. They love to do it on the internet. They love to congregate on the internet. I would be very interested in knowing what P. Diddy has sent out there. And one more thing, Nancy, he didn't just go across state lines. He staged contests to get little kids to come and perform for him so he could rape them. He groomed entire families. So you know what? Maybe he groomed celebrities, and that is what we're going to see.
Sean Diddy Combs appears in front of new judge Arun Subramanian wearing tan jail clothes and a huge grin. One reporter asks Agnifilo what the roughest part of prison is. Agnifilo's short and shocking response, the food.
The food. Okay. A real Halloween fright night for Sean Puffy Combs. His bail bid is going bust. Why? What federal judge in his or her right mind is going to grant bail for Sean Combs when he is in the middle of another grand jury secret probe? It's happening right now. Now, what could the probe be about? According to an attorney who has visited us on many occasions, it is her client. Attorney Ariel Mitchell says her client, a male alleged victim, is in front of a grand jury today, has been testifying throughout the entire day, and it ain't over yet. Or it's the state reviving a shooting incident that occurred with Sean Combs. Listen.
Somebody called Diddy and started talking crazy. Signed into Bad Boy, I became a millionaire.
Bad Boy was very much like a family for a very long time.
Police are questioning entertainers Sean Puffy Combs and Jennifer Lopez following a shooting at a nightclub.
I had nothing to do with a shooting in this club.
Puff couldn't handle going to jail. Every man for himself.
Puffy got acquitted and he got 10 years.
He was betrayed.
I was absolutely set up to be the fall guy.
From our friends at Hulu, straight out to Kayla Brantley joining us, investigative reporter, DailyMail.com, and star of Daily Mail's podcast, The Trial of Diddy. Sean Combs was not betrayed in that nightclub shooting. As a matter of fact, somebody else took the fall for it and got hard jail time. But now it's all come back under review by the feds. Translation, does this mean Jennifer Lopez will appear as a witness before a grand jury?
Nancy, Jennifer Lopez and every other celebrity who's been involved with Diddy, who has been around Diddy in the past, is trying to distance themselves as much as they possibly can. Jennifer Lopez very well could be called to testify, especially if investigators are going back and looking at this early 2000 shooting, if they're looking at the death of Tupac and anything else that Diddy has been legally involved in.
Kayla Brantley, the thought that Jennifer Lopez may have to testify regarding that nightclub shooting, you know the guy that took the fall will come back in because he's got it in for Diddy because he took the fall while Diddy walked free. But what about superstars Jay-Z and Beyoncé? Their close relationship with Diddy may come back to bite him in the neck.
Well, all eyes are on them now because a lot of people have said, you know, it takes many to tango in this case. Diddy did not act alone. He had a network of people around him who really helped him get all of these things accomplished. You know, especially they've been named in lawsuits, some of the people, but the celebrities is really where everyone's going to be watching, and it just makes for an even bigger bombshell case and trial once that comes in May.
Another possibility as to the nature of the new grand jury probe happening right now, Tupac Listen.
Tupac Shakur's family has now hired lawyer Alex Shapiro to investigate any possible ties between Diddy and Tupac's murder. Alleged orchestrator Dwayne Keefe D. Davis has long claimed Diddy put out the hit on the West Coast rapper just 2 years after an attack on Shakur in New York. Shakur was shot 5 times as he tried to enter a studio where Combs and Biggie Smalls were recording. In an interview after his recovery, Tupac made it very clear that he thought Diddy was behind the robbery.
There is no statute of limitations on murder. Now, this has been revived yet again because Tupac's family has hired a new lawyer. But what do we know about the Tupac shooting? Don't you know those federal investigators would love to roll a murder charge in with all the current federal charges? Reminder, Sean Combs' fright night ain't over yet. When he gets wind that a grand jury has been meeting all day long today and is set to go at least another 2 days, being in MDC is the least of his concerns. Back to Tupac, listen.
As they were driving west on Flamingo Road near Koval, they located the black BMW, which was driven by Suge Knight, and in the passenger seat was Tupac Shakur. And as they turned around, they pulled up near the passenger side of that vehicle and immediately began shooting at Mr. Knight and Mr. Shakur.
Shakur is hit 4 times in the chest. Suge Knight is grazed in the head by a bullet fragment. Tupac Shakur dies 6 days later.
At first, you were hearing from the Vegas PD, Lieutenant Jason Johansson, to Joshua Ritter, high-profile lawyer joining us today and star of Courtroom Confidential on YouTube. It ain't over yet. Tupac's case is not over yet. I want you to hear this. Everybody on the panel, listen to this.
He said he didn't give us anything if we don't do that. He said in front of all the people, I couldn't believe it. A whole home full of Crips. We'll wipe their out quick, you know? It's nothing.
Who brought up the amount of $1 million?
He did.
Puffy.
Ross. Tupac! I was like, there they go. Made a U-turn, pulled up on the side, checked every car to see where they was.
Biggie ever involved in any of these conversations about hitting Tupac?
No.
It was always just the Puff and Zip.
Yeah. This is all Puffy's doing. Yeah.
You are hearing Dwayne Keefe D. Davis on audio recording. Joshua Ritter, if I can hear it, a grand jury can hear it too. You hear him clearly say, no, it wasn't Biggie. It was always Puffy. Sean Combs, he is the one that put out a $1 million hit on Tupac Shakur. You think the Fed's just going to walk away from that? It stinks to high heaven.
No, absolutely not. Diddy has long been tied as a suspect to this murder. The interesting thing about Tupac's murder is that authorities always felt like they knew who was involved, but they never felt like they had enough evidence to come forward with charges because people were unwilling to come forward. Witnesses were unwilling to come forward because of this fear that everyone felt about coming forward about the people who were involved in that murder. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. P. Diddy does not enjoy that kind of protection anymore from his power and wealth. And so people are coming forward. That very well could be what they're hearing in a grand jury secret proceedings today, is information that continues to link him to other crimes, including perhaps Tupac's murder.
Legal experts say Combs has no choice but to rely on an aggressive defense tactic, attacking his accusers.
Agnifilo refers to Cassie Ventura as a money-seeking, jealous cheater.
Agnifilo argues that droves of anonymous lawsuits are creating a hysterical media storm.
And anyone who says otherwise is just looking to cash in. Combs' exorbitant wealth and extreme power made victims feel like they had no choice but to comply.
Were you just fighting in the club, yes or no? I don't want...
No, we didn't have a fight. We had a big argument, all right? I was at the club.
And who started?
This time, I think I got loud and got aggressive, but it was the third time this happened. And so I felt like I needed to, like, stand up for myself. Even though I was talking and we was having a lot of crazy words, I was walking that way to avoid the issue.
Well, apparently the apple don't fall too far from the tree. And that's from our friends at Street Addicts on Insta. What is it about? Well, apparently, Sean Combs' sons get into a Halloween brawl at a Halloween party over comments made about their father, Sean Combs. It is Halloween Fright Night. Diddy ween. Because Combs not only is facing new grand jury probes that have been occurring all day long, we learn, and are set to go for at least the next 2 days. His sons break into a fight at a Halloween party over comments made about him. You know, to Brian Fitzgibbons, director at USPA Nationwide Security, I have rarely seen adult children believe their parents committed wrongdoing. It's very difficult to convince them otherwise. Plus, these children have been living off Diddy their whole lives.
Fright Night for sure, Nancy. The payroll is starting to get turned off, and you're going to see dissension in the ranks in Diddy's family. I think we're going to see more and more of this, of infighting between Diddy's family as this grand jury testimony unfolds.
Oh, yes. And it's going to be a dogfight, Josh Ritter. When you get the adult children involved, and we already see it happening, breaking into a brawl at a Halloween party over comments made about Sean Combs, to ever convince an adult child their father has done something criminal, that's tall order.
Yeah, all these people who for so long had been inside of Sean Combs' circle and enjoyed all of this wealth and privilege and protection, they're now seeing all of that fall apart and disappear, and they're starting to panic. And I think you're going to see more people like this, and more people taking shots at them, by the way, because they're no longer enjoying that protection that they had been for so long. So this, to me, is just the beginning of the fallout from not only Diddy's empire, but those surrounding him in his circles of protection.
It's Diddy ween. A new grand jury probe into topics we can only speculate the content. What is happening behind those closed doors? Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.